Haunted Michigan, terrifying tales.
Welcome to this episode of Haunted Michigan. I'm your host, Meltdown. Got to thank the guys from Flyer Paranormal for swinging by the radio station. Dave, John, and Jess told great stories about hauntings in and around Michigan, including the Orson Star House. They've investigated this house over and over, and they tell me all sorts of tales about stuff they've seen and had happened to them in and around the house. Check it out for yourself as we talk with Dave, John, and Jess from Flyer Paranormal, this time around on Haunted Michigan. Welcome to guys from Flyer Paranormal. Thank you guys so much for coming up. Dave, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. John?
I'm well. Thank you for having us.
Jess?
Excellent.
All right. Good to see you guys. Thank you guys so much for swinging by the studio here to talk about the Orson Star House in Royal Oak.
Yes.
And I saw you guys did something a few months back with Channel 7. And that was like, it was kind of cool because when they filmed it, it was like this rainy, kind of eerie kind of day. But first of all, John, tell us about the house.
So the house is the oldest house in Royal Oak. It used to be a cabin. Well, it started off as a cabin across the street where the 7-Eleven is. Eventually, they moved it to where it stands now.
What year was that? Do you know?
The house now built in 1845.
Okay.
The cabin, obviously, prior to that, they need a little more room, so they built the house where it stands.
And, Dave, whereabouts exactly is this house?
This is on the corner of Main Street and, 13 Mile.
Okay.
So maybe like right off the corner, a couple houses down, sits in this little neighborhood, quiet, end of the street.
And
can't miss it, little white house.
Yeah, I mean, it looks old, obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's one of those
exactly.
Older houses. But Dave and John, you guys got to teach Jess how to you know, do the marketing with the hat on the right way.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah,
there we go. There it goes.
Yeah, no.
But Jess, tell me about you. Before we started, you talked about some sort of spirit box encounter you had at this house. Is that right?
We've had spirit box encounters at the house, but specifically we were referring to kind of what got me into the whole paranormal investigation to begin with.
Okay, well, tell us that. Go ahead.
Okay, so we were at Eloise. This was John and myself before Flyer Paranormal was official.
Mm.
And we're in Eloise, second floor.
And what year are we talking about here?
19.
Yep, 2019.
So you guys are kind of new at this.
We're relatively new.
Okay.
Right, and so we get into Eloise, and we're on the second floor, and we all start feeling strange in this specific room, and I broke out my spirit box, and prior to this, I had told the guys I didn't want to hear a specific name on the spirit box, so my friend died when I was 17 years old, had a Ouija board encounter, supposedly contacted him, very strange, never touched a Ouija board again. We get here, I tell everyone that I didn't want to hear his name and what comes through the name, but Steve, my buddy. So,
and you were there, John?
There.
Yeah.
There to witness.
And
it
so
was
everyone
crazy.
Was kind of looking at me because I had told them prior. They're like, what in the world, you know? And so then it says, you know, after I'm lost and I recorded it, I have it, you know, chopped up and, you know, on video. So it's pretty interesting to get information like that. From beyond.
Yeah, interesting is one way to put it, for sure.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Dave, how long have you been doing this?
Same thing. So, basically, a little quick story. John and myself went to school together since the third grade. I saw him post a paranormal music box online on Instagram.
Mm.
Like, look at my little toy. I'm like, I know what that is. So, I reached out to him. Hey, buddy, are you into the paranormal? He said, yeah. He said, are you? I said, yeah. So he's like, how about we start a team? And there we go. We just started it from that, ground up.
Wow, that's cool. So where does the name Flyer Paranormal come from?
So Flyer Paranormal comes from Dave and I's high school. We went to the Willow Run School District, our high school. Our mascot was the Flyers.
Okay.
So the high school's gone. They joined forces with Ypsilanti.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combined district. So there's no more Willow Run. So we thought, what better way to relive our childhood doing this ghostly stuff with our, you know, old school high school mascot.
Now before we get back into the Orson Star House, because like I said before, I have a million questions about this. You guys grew up in Ipsy. And,
yes.
You know, here on the Haunted Michigan, you know, show that it's like Ipsy comes up quite a bit. So, Dave, have you investigated anything in Ipsy?
You know what? No. But I know of a lot of places that are haunted. Mm-hmm. The closest we've investigated was the Soup Cemetery in Belleville, right off the 94 Service Drive.
Okay.
Pretty close by, other side of the Willow Run Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, I know of a lot of places around that people say that are haunted that have been investigated, and we've just never went that route yet. Honestly, the reason why, I think, is because a lot of people are closing that idea down of being investigated, having people come into their property, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like some of these places, I have friends of mine that own restaurants and stuff, and they welcome this, but some of them don't.
Exactly.
You know, because they don't want that kind of reputation or that kind of stigma attached to it. So, all right, so let's get back to the Orson Star House. So when was the first time you guys investigated this, Jess?
Well, these guys actually started Flyer Paranormal before I joined. So the first time...
We were there December of 21.
And so how do you hear about this house, and how do you get permission to go in and watch it?
So we're friends with another fellow from a team out on the west side of the state. We were communicating with him about, you know, we needed a spot to go. So he was like, hey, check out Orson Star House in Royal Oak. So we call up Orson Star House, get in touch with Alex Kerrigan, the docent for the museum. Great lady. So we schedule time. We go out there. And she says, you can have it from this time to this time. And we went out there and did our thing.
Now, nobody lives there.
No one lives there.
Okay.
But they hold events there throughout the year. And not just paranormal events. Like coming up on May 20th is like Civil War days for the house. So.
And it was turned over to the city, what, in the 60s?
Late 60s, early
70s. So it's a historical house.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
They consider it like a small city museum.
All right, so I'll go around the room here. So, Jess, what's the craziest experience you've had in the Orson Star House?
Okay, I guess that was just recently. We had a group upstairs. We were in the child's room. And by the way,
hold on. Stop right there. Do you know the child's name?
So there's many different children.
Okay.
You know, potentially we've come into contact with a few, which is kind of subjective, depending on how you interpret the EVPs that we've collected.
Okay.
You know, but
so you're in the room.
We're right next to the room, and we have a bunch of we have EMF detectors, we have a soccer ball, we have six or seven people up there, and all of a sudden all of us feel a chill, right? Like wind rushing through. All of our devices go off, so they all start blinking, indicating that there's some sort of disturbance in the electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
The soccer ball moves, and everybody's just kind of blown away, right? Because you collect as much subjective evidence as you can, but when you have multiple different hits, then you tend to be able to believe that was something. You know?
And how far did this soccer ball move?
I mean, it moved a couple inches.
Okay.
It wasn't like it was kicked down the hall
right,
or anything, but it was, and everybody was able to witness it. And with various devices around the circle going off, before this happened, you know, it was just, it was really interesting.
So at that time, are you calling out a specific person's name? You're in the child's room, so you don't know a name.
We didn't ask for a specific name. We're asking to make communication with whoever wants to communicate,
yeah,
you know, and so there's a wide variety of possibilities. There's so many different artifacts in the house that could potentially have energy associated with it. So we were just trying to make contact, and then it was just kind of a rush of energy moving through the room.
And, John, was that your biggest experience there, or you got a different story?
So if I could add to,
sure,
you asked about the name, Lydia Starr's name did come through.
Oh, Lydia, okay.
So that is one of the children that passed away. I mean, they're all dead now, right?
Well, I was going to say, do you know the history of all the people that lived in the house? Like how, like when they died and different things like that?
Just the immediate Star family.
Okay. And were they the original owners?
Original owners. The house seen four generations of Stars up until the late 1960s.
Okay.
And then the house went kind of dormant, and then the city took it over.
So for over 100 years, the same family owned that house?
Yeah.
Just kept handing it down or whatever the case
right,
is?
Right, just kept moving down the line.
Gotcha. So what was your greatest experience there?
My greatest experience there, December 2019. It was our very first investigation at the house, first time in the house. Alex gives a tour to everybody that comes in, explains the different rooms and items and where they come from.
And let me back up. So at this point, are you just like are you just there on the tour?
So no, we were there to investigate. Okay. So we were there to investigate, and Alex, you know, asked us if we wanted a tour of the house before we got going. We said yeah.
It was just Dave and you at the time?
It was myself, Dave. We had two sisters on the team that time,
okay,
Jeannie and Sandy, mm-hmm. and then my wife comes along as well.
Okay.
So,
by the way, my wife would not.
She wouldn't come. So
mine either.
My wife hates it, but I'm like, you have to go. I need your help.
My wife doesn't go to things that aren't haunted. So anyways, but go ahead.
So Alex has Dave, Jeannie, and Sandy giving them the tour. I'm trying to clear card space on my laptop. I'm in the kitchen. The kitchen door is kind of right behind me to my right. And I'm clearing space. My wife's in the other room over in the living room area. Next thing you know, the door behind me kind of blacks out. I turn around real slow, and there's...
You mean in your peripheral?
In my peripheral. Gotcha. It blacks out. I turn real slow. There's something standing there, blocking the light coming from the other room. And then when I get fully around, I see it disappears. I go back, I'm doing my thing, comes back again. Okay, so I turn around. This time it stays longer. So this happened again for a third time. I turn around. I'm looking at this shadow figure.
So was it a shadow person?
It was a shadow person.
Okay.
Probably about almost 6 foot tall. Of course, it had a brimmed hat on. So everyone, they're in the basement. My wife's in the other room. I didn't tell anyone about it. And then on the way home, I'm like, I'm telling my wife, I got to tell you something. She's like, no, I have to tell you something. And I was like, all right, you go first. She said, when you were in the kitchen, this man kept coming and standing in the doorway at the kitchen. And she said,
I remember it too.
She said, he came three times over there. And I was like, shut the heck up, because that's the exact thing I was going to tell you. And so, I mean, the confirmation about the shadow
figure.
So
she's
in
a different room,
house.
Sees the same thing you are, and you're in a different room. Did anyone else on that tour see it, or just you and your wife?
Just me and my wife.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And like I say, the other part of the team, they were in the basement with Alex doing the tour.
Gotcha.
But, man, you will see snippets of, you know, shadow movement in the house here and there.
No kidding.
Since then, I haven't seen a full-blown shadow figure again. But I think it's just a matter of time.
That's quite a welcome to the Orson Starr House.
Oh, very first time.
Yeah. Dave, what do you got? What's your greatest experience
there? Oh, man, just a couple of different kinds of noises there. But you would think, okay, subjective, correct. These noises were a little bit different. It was on the upper landing by the ceiling on the way to the basement. So you got the kitchen, and it's one step landing basement stairs. The difference is when you go on the outside of the door, you don't see a place where somebody can get up or, you know, get on there and make noise, mm-hmm. like footsteps. So I heard what sounds like somebody upstairs running or little kids' footsteps. I'm like, what the heck was that? I said, John, he's at the bottom of the stairs. Everybody's in the basement. Nobody's on the second floor. Nobody's on the top floor. Nobody's outside. Nobody's anywhere. I said, John, check this out. He's like, what? Listen. He's like, come on now. I was like, check, listen. Sure enough. He's like, what the heck? So we bounced outside, opened the door really fast, looked up on the roof. Nothing. This was nighttime. You know, it could have been an animal, but it sounded like thuds, not like little creepy crawlies. Mm. We couldn't find where they would even get up at. Mm. So... another time was they have these old wooden beams in the middle of the living room.
Oh, yeah.
About four or five people from the investigation was left over that night. So I heard this loud boom, like a vibration boom, almost something, I don't know, a pipe or something got hit, and it vibrated the whole area because it sounded like another dimension or even outside somewhere, but it came through the house, through that wooden beam. And I turned to everybody like, I know you guys just heard that. Like, that was super loud. There's no way.
You heard it, John.
No.
No.
Oh, you didn't hear it.
No.
No. And that's a theory I have about the spirits affecting people in different ways. Mm,
but I'm not the only one that heard that exact same sound from that exact same wooden pole either.
Other people have on tours?
Yes. People have told me, oh, my God, I've heard that also. So I'm like,
no
wait,
kidding.
What? Very, very crazy. It almost makes you feel like you're going crazy sometimes because, like, you guys didn't hear that. Come on now. Like, quit playing with me. Like,
we had a good argument that day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I know I'm not crazy, and I'm a believer. So.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you and John about this. Both of you guys have necklaces. Or is there any reason for that or just –
I would say more of a protection thing.
I was going to ask that.
Stones,
yeah.
So,
you got something too? I feel like, okay, you guys need to protect me apparently.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know anything. So. I thought it was maybe just your Mr. T starter kit or something. I know what was going on here, but
that could
oh no,
be.
I love stones. You know.
Oh, so yeah, so it's that kind of it protects you or whatever.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything follow you home or away?
So yes, I have, and. It's kind of funny. I use a particular flashlight for investigations.
Now, why is that?
Just because it's small, compact.
Okay.
It can fit.
Right.
I can clip it right in my pocket.
It's just easy.
Easy.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So it comes in red light, comes in white light. So as soon as I opened it, the white light was broke. It never came on. All right, whatever. I came home, put my flashlight away. My wife and I step out. We go shopping for the day. We come back, and I hear in the house yelling, and she's cursing at me, telling me that I need to keep my friends away from the house. And I run upstairs. I don't know what's going on. And so my flashlight is turned on the dresser where I keep it.
Mm.
And it's the white light, the light that doesn't
work. The one that wouldn't
work,
yeah.
Correct. Mm. And so, yeah, we've had that happen at the house, footsteps at the house. Now, we think it's because I do the paranormal investigating, but we've never really investigated the house for actual activity.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Tend to stay away from your own
yeah.
house.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
That's kind of work.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And so you guys give tours, weekend tours, once a month.
Yep.
And half of the proceeds go to charity. Now, how many people are allowed on this tour at the time? Did I see 12?
So we do two time frames on one night, and for each time frame, it's 12 people.
And what time do these start?
So our first time of the night goes from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then we have a little hour break in there so we can rehydrate to get ready to investigate, and then they come back at, we have another group come in at 11 p.m., and we go until 2 a.m.
And, of course, you know, as the days get longer now, the 7 o'clock one's going to be in the daytime. So that's
still cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because the basement, you know.
Okay.
Start down there.
Gotcha.
Work your way up. By that time, it's getting dark. So,
Dave, I'll start with you here. Excuse me for a second, John. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't think it really matters what time of day it is. You can always get activities.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave, I'll start with you, and we'll work our way back now. What's the craziest thing that you've experienced with tourists, with giving out tours in this house?
I would say there was a lady. It was one of our first investigations. There was a lady that claimed to see and feel things, you know, medium, per se. And she's just rambling throughout the investigation and telling us basically what we don't hear and what we're not seeing or hearing ourselves, and everything she's saying is supposedly authentic.
Mm.
And it was just, as the night went on, everybody's like tired of her stuff. And it's just like, come on now. It's like, you know, I don't know. So that was kind of weird. 'Cause there's a lot of people like that. So you got to just be careful. I would just say, just I respect everyone's opinion on every answer or, you know, detail that they bring up. So it's like, for me, as long as you respect my opinion on what I believe, then I'll respect yours, and we can go from there and let bygones be bygones. Mm-hmm. So that was always a kind of creepy little thing to me, you know.
She said some weird things.
I didn't want to go that far, John.
But, I mean, it creepy weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Was she there by herself?
No, there was a. It was within a group.
Yeah. Okay, but was she there by? Did she go
by herself? Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the weirdest thing you've seen on tour?
With our guests,
yeah.
No. And we had a lady come in and said that she had participated in a few different exorcisms.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so we always kind of group up at the end of the night, share stories, what happened, this and this. And this lady, you know, she says, I just want to, before we start talking, I just want to say how refreshing this was. And then tears started streaming down her face. And then she went into this story about she had to have an exorcism on her friend in a hospital. And she said, what you see in the movies, yes, it's like that, but it was almost, she said, 100 times worse.
Really?
Yeah, and she's bawling. She's, like, actually bawling her eyes out telling us her exorcism story. That was creepy. And I talked to Jess about that afterwards, and I'm like, so, you know, we go out here, and we're trying to have fun with people and interact with these spirits. And I'm like, what happens if we come across something like that? What the heck are we going to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Jess?
Well, I mean, you always kind of wonder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has these different experiences. Some people tend to perceive different sensations than others. And so, I mean, you just kind of write it and keep it in the back of your head and just continue on with what you're trying to investigate yourself, you know. It's definitely worrisome if, you know, something like that were potentially to happen, but we just keep it kind of lighthearted, you know, we have fun. We have a good time, and I haven't experienced anything that seems demonic or, thank God, you know, because... Yeah, how would you respond?
You're wearing that stuff around your neck, so you're protected.
Right. That's all it takes. I mean,
it is crazy, you know. I mean, the stuff you could get into. It's like, you know, you gotta be careful, I suppose. But how do you be careful, you know? So, Jess, I'll start with you since this is Haunted Michigan. What other places in Michigan have you been to that you felt spirits? You felt a lot of energy.
Well, we actually investigated the Hamburg Museum. We were the first ones to investigate
the Hamburg Museum. Interesting, because I've been to the Hamburg Pub, obviously.
Right,
so
next to
it's by it. Okay.
Yep. So I grew up in Hamburg.
Yeah.
So it was really cool that we were the first ones to investigate there, and we had some interesting things. When we would speak of the Bible, we would get you know, our EMF detectors would go off.
Mm.
And we would talk about priests. Multiple people there felt like they were touched. A couple people had to leave just from that negative feeling. And so, I mean, to have something that close to home base was really cool, you know, to be that part of history. And so it's exciting to investigate these different locations, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, John?
All right. Christine's Arts and Antiques.
Oh.
Where's that?
It's in Caro, Michigan.
Mm. Oh, okay.
It's an antique shop now, so cool. But it is a former funeral home.
Now, for one second, was it the Orson Starr House also a funeral home at one point?
They did do funeral services there, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And they have a really cool door called a coffin door at the front. So, yes,
you have
to check it out.
All right, so go back to the...
So, Christine's Arts and Antiques. Caro, Michigan. Awesome store, awesome owner. Kind of... moving about, we did an investigation there for the world's largest ghost hunt, and I'm showing.
Wait, but what's that?
So right now, we don't know if it's going to happen again. Some things happened last year, but the world's largest ghost hunt is a day in which teams across the globe investigate on this particular day, and there's a list of intentions for each team to try and communicate with the spirits. So, and then we submit our evidence when we do these guided sessions with the spirits, if you will. And then we send that off. They do a collective research analysis, I guess, if you want to call it that. And, you know, they basically see if the world is connected spiritually.
Gotcha. So what happened last year that they might not do it?
So last year they did it.
Jess is like, yeah.
So we ran into some streaming problems. And Dave is laughing because I got pretty heated.
He's usually calm and collected, and he was perturbed.
Oh, so something crazy didn't happen, but your stuff was got screwed up.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'll explain that one. Yeah. So I'm giving. We had a medium on there. We made it an event. You know, all day event. Come out, see the medium. Come see us. Come buy some crystals. Come buy Christine's. So I'm showing the medium around. I'm like, come on, you got to see this office. It's the funeral director's office. So we got to walk down this hall, this small, tight hallway that's not part of the shop. And immediately I'm in front of her. Every hair on my body is standing up. And I turn around to ask her if she's feeling this. And she's looking at her arms like this.
Oh.
And she's like, yeah, they're here. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, come on. We're not to the office yet. So we turn the corner, go into the office. And I'm explaining that when we were there prior, this our REM pods were going off. We had good interaction on the EVPs. This was a really great room for activity. And then right after I got done telling her that, it felt like someone was inside my stomach just like churning and churning. And I told her, I was like, you know what? And then when I said that, immediate emotions like overcame my body. Like I wanted to start bawling. And I told her, I was like, so this never happens, and I'm trying to fight through whatever the heck's going on in my stomach. I'm like, I got to get out of this room. So she's like, come on, quick, let's go. She gives me this piece of quartz crystal to hold on to. She said that it will help bring me back to, it will help ground me again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know what happened, right? And I'm like, well, I kind of have an understanding of what happened. She said, well, you were standing in the funeral director's space. He was letting you know that it's okay. You just had an adverse reaction to him interacting with you.
Mm.
And I had this nausea that lasted for about a good 30 minutes afterwards. And then I was still emotional. Like I was just really sad for probably another 30 minutes after we left out of there.
Wow. So when is this World Ghost Day? When did this happen?
So typically, the last couple years, we did an event the last couple years, and typically it's in September.
Okay. So this is just last September?
Just last September.
Wow.
Yep.
Were you guys there, Jess and Dave? Were you there also?
Yeah. It was a very, very, we had a lot of curious instances that night. Potentially we solved a murder. We probably shouldn't even get into that, but we had an individual there.
No lie.
Who had his girlfriend, they were going to get married. She had fallen down some steps, and she had recently died. And he was sure that we were communicating with her. The voice that was coming through our spirit box, he said, matched hers perfectly.
Mm.
And so it was a very, we had to kind of stay away from that subject and let's move away from this and go investigate some other area because it just got so intense for the individual himself dealing with this. But at the same point, he was able to, it seemed like, kind of get past, the situation and get some closure. Mm. You know, he felt like she was telling him that it was okay at the end and that she was, wherever she was, doing fine.
I have a funny, funny, creepy story with that. After we left there, after that investigation, we had an Orson Star investigation. I think it was the next week.
This is in September last year.
Yeah, September last year. We were doing an EVP session in the mannequin room of the Orson Star house. All of a sudden, the girl that was talking to us and Carol was now talking to us at the Orson Star.
Really?
You never know what you bring with you.
Wow.
And we confirmed the name. It was
this
her.
On a tour or was this just an investigation?
This was a tour.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so a lot of people got to experience that. And we confirmed the name, and then we also asked her again just to confirm that it was her. Excuse me. Can you tell us again what happened? And she said, I don't want to. Please don't ask.
Wow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wow, that's something. So, Dave, as far as Michigan is concerned, you got anything to add to any of these places that they talked about?
I mean, Carroll is one that I got three, four different stories that would make non-believers like kind of pique interest. But my favorite was, and we got it on video. It's on our pages, Facebook or Instagram or even TikTok. My favorite is when we were doing a pre-investigation at the Carroll. Christine's Arts and Antiques. We did this little silly thing where light as a feather, stiff as a board kind of thing. So Jess is like, let's do that. We'll try it. You know, try to get our energy up and our, you know, everything's middle and centered. And, you know, so we tried that.
Who were you trying to lift up?
The biggest person in the room. But so John's laying there on the floor. Me and Jess, we're just, you know, shaking our bad juju off and trying to get our energies lifted. And so we're going through the light as a feather, stiff as a board and whatnot. And all of a sudden, upon review of that video, so he said something about his necklace or his hoodie. And as soon as he did, I saw a wispy little orb do like a little roller coaster motion into his neck area. And it also made a whooshing noise, like.
No kidding.
I swear to goodness, it was the most creepiest thing ever. And I wish it was like a little more detailed in the video, but you can definitely clearly see a wispy little orb. And it's not like a piece of lint or, you know, it's like wispy, like you, like a cloud of smoke, like a little small cloud of smoke. Just going like a roller coaster motion into his neck, like it was
right
the weirdest.
Right when he's experiencing something.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like that's incredible.
Well, we got to give a plug out to my friends from the Detroit Paranormal Expeditions because they sent me a video as well from the Orson Star House. And what room is that they were in?
That looked to be Rhoda's bedroom, the bedroom on the first floor.
Okay, because they were talking about a dress.
Yes.
And Todd and Jeff, and they were talking about a dress, and I played it for you guys earlier. You can clearly hear a woman say yes.
Oh,
yes.
That was absolutely.
That was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
That was pretty creepy.
So, well, wrapping things up here, I just want to thank you guys, first of all, for stopping down Flyer Paranormal. You're on Facebook, the socials, all that stuff, Instagram, and all that kind of stuff. And when is the next tour? Like, what's the schedule for the tours?
So our tour, so being that we all work and have, we're not full-time paranormal investigators, we kind of schedule it month out.
Okay.
So right now we're at May 20th. Unfortunately, that hunt has been sold out.
Well, that's great. I mean,
it's awesome. Yeah. It really is. And then our next hunt, though, we have tickets on sale for is June 3rd. And then we have another hunt that will be coming out July 29th.
And when it gets to the fall and the spooky season, to coin a phrase, do you guys ramp it up a little bit? Or?
So we do ramp it up. We try to hit more locations, so to say. So we're kind of communicating with those folks right now, trying to set the schedule.
Yeah. And do you find, since this is Haunted Michigan, I don't know how much you guys have traveled or something, but do you find that there is a lot of places in this state that is good for investigating?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, big
for
time.
For sure.
Yeah.
And local stuff, too. I know one location where we're actually going to hold an event there coming up in June. It's the Terrified Forest in Pinckney. Have you heard of it?
I don't know if I have.
Okay, so it's an actual seasonal haunt. So they do, it's like a haunted attraction.
Okay. Yeah.
So when we first started, I was looking for places to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So it was there in town. I contact Marie, the owner. I'm like, hey, Is your place haunted? You ever have any kind of activity? I'd love to come and check it out. Well, she was on board. We went. We did an investigation. She told us about some things that happened there. And on our first investigation there, it's awesome. We always get good stuff on our very first time.
Yeah, you're right.
We're walking it back into the manor. They call this place the manor. They haven't used it. It's an old house on the property. And one of her group members, someone that was there with her, says, there's someone in that back room. I just seen him move. Okay, so no one's supposed to be on this property but us. So they go one way to that room. We're going the other way. And we're explaining, hey, this is a private investigation. No one's supposed to be here. I'm picking the camera up. And I'm behind Dave. We're going towards this room. And right as Dave gets done saying, hey, you know, no one's supposed to be here but us, we have an EVP come over our, or a disembodied voice come over our camera, and it says, kill me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and
it's the creepiest,
so creepiest
sounding, you know.
Now, you heard
voice
this
you
after.
Could have.
Yeah, this,
yeah,
is,
this
yeah,
was
isn't
not
that,
there.
Isn't that weird how, you know, I don't know if you guys are, you know, a lot more, you know, known about this stuff than I am, but it's like, it seems like a lot of this stuff, you film and film and film, and then you got to rewatch it.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
You pick up things.
Oh, my gosh.
Lots of hours going to
hours.
Yeah. Reviewing.
Yeah.
I told you guys earlier, I talked to Steve Shippey.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
The Hell House up in Mid-State Michigan. Have you guys ever been there or heard anything about that?
Never been there. The Hell House, that was the documentary, the latest one, right?
Yeah.
So I watched that, but never been there in person.
Yeah, that seemed really bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, I mean, when you get in touch with witches, I mean, I'm not throwing any shade out there, but, you know. Things could be crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, I realized that, you know, they film for hours and hours and hours, and they put this whole thing together. But some of the stuff they caught on tape was incredible.
Yes.
You know. So, well, we'll look forward to heading out to the Orson Star House. I want to thank you guys for taking the day off from work and coming and talking to us here. And we do appreciate your time, of course. That's in Royal Oak. And they can just punch up your guys' website to figure out, like, to buy tickets, or how's that work?
Absolutely. So we run the majority of our, I guess, ads or promotionals through Facebook. So we announce all of our events on Facebook. And then, you know, ticket sales go through Eventbrite. So if you search Eventbrite Flyer Paranormal, yeah, our event should pop up. Or if you want to go and like and follow us on Facebook, that'd be great too.
Yeah, and that's like just for the 24 spots for the two tours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, really great to meet you guys. Thank you so much for coming down, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, a big thank you to Dave, John, and Jess from Flyer Paranormal for not only coming by the radio station, but for sharing some great stories and great tales about their paranormal experiences. I've got more Haunted Michigan coming up, so follow, subscribe, check out my socials at MeltdownWRIF as I post everything there. And until next time, thank you so much for watching and listening to Haunted Michigan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.